St. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, Panto te chairete, rejoice always, always rejoice. And the word he uses there is the same word which is used for grace, same root.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
By grace you are saved by faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. That's square one. And then Paul goes on to say, pray without ceasing and give thanks. Those all belong together. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks, all under the grace of Christ. The result is a deep joy.
You can meet and hear President Matt Harrison making the case for being joyfully Lutheran at the one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick.
Well, the real Jesus is very different and so much stranger than the sanitized picture of Jesus that the world finds so palatable. Who is Jesus according to the 21st century world, according to average American society? He is kind of like the Jewish Dalai Lama. He walks around in robes. He says a lot of nice things. He's essentially there to affirm you. Wouldn't hurt a fly. Never raised his voice in anger, much less in any other emotion. He is just kind of your mellow, affirming, really nice uncle. That's who he is. He's just there to pat you on the back and tell you, you know, you're doing a good job. Keep your chin up. You're all right with me. I'm okay. You're okay. But then you get the real Jesus, who enters the temple early in his ministry, according to John's gospel, and he's filled with righteous indignation. And he makes a whip. He fashions a whip out of cords. He makes a weapon and he drives out the money changers. So what does the world need to learn from that Jesus? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to start out by teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. We'll spend some time talking about that clearing of the temple that Jesus effects there in John chapter 2. After that, we're going to be starting a short series with the author of our Issues Etc., Book of the Month for June, Grace, Faith, Scripture, a Portrait of a Lutheran. Dr. Daniel Pavolo will join us to talk about the Reformation solas and Scripture alone. Then Deaconess Rose Adel will be alongside. We're going to have a conversation on what it means as a Christian to really want better for your children. And Emily Jasinski, culture editor for The Federalist, will talk about the Hollywood boycott double standard. You know that Hollywood, Disney has said, well, we're not going to do any work. Some actors have said we're not going to do any work in Georgia because of their abortion laws. But there is a double standard at work. We'll find out what it is in the last part of Issues Etc. Feel free to join us with questions or comments. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Jesus clearing the temple in John chapter 2. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
So if the world looks at Jesus as kind of a Jewish Dalai Lama who just says nice things and affirms you, whoever or whatever you may be, what does the world need to learn from the Jesus we encounter in the temple in John chapter 2?
In my experience, I found that it's the problem with the world is the word love. For them, love means being kind, doing nice things, being tolerant, even when people are sinning, if that's what they feel they should be doing. And we need to understand that love, from God's point of view, is quite different. For God so loved the world, that should tell us enough, because the world there refers to the evil, sinful people in the world. He loved them to such a level that he gave his only begotten son. I would often ask somebody who says, well, don't you believe that Jesus is one of love? I say, do you have children? And they say, yes. You never punish them, do you? Well, why do you say that? Well, because from the point of view of the child, when a child is being punished, they jump to the conclusion that you do not love them because you're being mean to them. But if you don't love them, then you won't punish them. But those who love their children will do discipline on them in order to prepare them for life. So this idea that Jesus is a kind of love like Santa Claus really misses the point. It is the same Jesus who, remember when they had Elijah defeating those who were worshiping Baal, all of those priests were put to death. I'm kind of listening to a CD of the entire Bible, and it's really interesting to me how many times God, who was, of course, Jesus Christ in the Old Testament also, would put people to death because not of their sin, but because of their idolatry behind their sin. In fact, the whole understanding of why God allowed them to take over Canaan was because the people in Canaan worshiped such false gods that they had no problem in sacrificing their little children to them by means of fire. So when it says that Jesus loves us, it's a love that definitely includes discipline in order that we might wake up to our sinful condition and therefore recognize the need for a Savior outside of our own works.
So tell us the story of Jesus clearing the temple here in John's Gospel. The first thing John notes is that it is Passover time in Jerusalem.
Yes, we need to recognize that in John, he has related to us three Passovers. This is the first Passover where Jesus does use a whip in the temple, but there is a third Passover that is found in Mark 11 where Jesus also comes in referring to the temple as a den of robbers. Now, it's kind of important to remember that prior to this, Jesus had seen a fig tree, and it was not bearing fruit, and so Jesus cursed it. What's interesting about that kind of prepares us for what is happening in the temple. You would think that people who were following the Levitical laws in selling sacrifices to those who had come on a pilgrimage for the Passover, that would be a wonderful thing to do, because then they were able to sacrifice to God. But Jesus referred to them as really making the temple a den of robbers. Now, we need to let Scripture interpret Scripture. That whole concept of the temple as a den of robbers comes from Jeremiah chapter 7. In fact, it's very important that you read the first part of Jeremiah chapter 7, because the Lord of hosts says through Jeremiah to his people, amend your ways and your deeds. Then I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. You know, even some Christians may get that idea sometimes. They say, we don't have to have insurance for our church. This is the church of God. There's no way God is going to allow a tornado or a hurricane or any bad weather or flood to destroy it. They had more trust in the temple than they had in the Word of God. Because what were they doing? They would go to the temple, but God would ask them in verse 8 of Jeremiah 7, you need to amend your ways and your deeds. If you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, if you do not go gods to your own harm, then I would let you dwell in this place, in the land that I give of old to your fathers forever." This is the background of these words, "You have made my temple into a den of robbers." We need to understand the temple had an outer and lower court, and that was made specifically for the worship by Gentiles who had become believers in the Jewish faith. We call them proselytes. But Jews still did not like Gentiles, a lot of the religious leaders in Judaism, and so they considered those places of relative holiness, not like the part where they were allowed to go into. And so it was in that area that they decided to put up their tables for trade and profit. If you turn to Isaiah 56, verse 7, it's said there that the temple is not for Israel only, but also for the proselytes. And so they took a worship area and they made it instead into a merchandise area. It would be kind of like maybe in our church, we have a nave, but we also have kind of a narthex. And people often, when they leave the sanctuary, go into the narthex, and there's good conversations, there's greetings. Well, imagine if you had a whole bunch of people selling items in order to make money for the church. And there were certain rules that the Judaism had. You were not allowed to buy anything unless you used temple coins. And therefore, people coming from a long distance did not have the right kind of coinage, and they would have to turn in what they had, and then they were given the proper coinage, but it was sold at exorbitant prices. In other words, what part of the temple had been made for proper worship for the Gentiles had now become a place where merchandise was sold, people were getting rich, and there were a number of ways in which they had made the temple a den of robbers. They were just like the folks in Jeremiah. There's no way the Babylonians are going to come in and destroy us because we have the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. And so we need to be careful, even in our time, as to how we use the sanctuary proper. I personally don't have a problem. I had a church for 28 years, and the ladies' aid, about two times a year, would have clothing that was used at really reduced prices, and there were all kinds of people who came from the neighborhood. You could get a whole bag of clothing for a dollar sometimes. And that was to help out also the neighbors. They were not making money on this, but it was a way of serving the neighbor. But it wasn't done at the altar. It wasn't done in the sanctuary. It was done in the basement, where I think it's appropriate to do something like this. And Jesus is saying that he is really angry. Now, the word used here is a word for zeal, and it's even quoted that he has zeal for the house of the Father. Remember, this is his Father's temple. This is where you would come to worship also God the Father. And the word zeal there is a righteous anger. It would be like what had happened in Jewish times, foreigners would come in and put idols in the temple. And of course, this made the Jews very angry when they were faithful to the Lord. And there were wars and battles over this. But it would be like our churches being used for something that we would not agree with by the government. For example, the government may say, you cannot be a church unless you marry all people who come to you wanting to be married, including those who are living in an immoral situation. Well, we wouldn't go along with that, and we would be angry with them also. So what we have here is Jesus then taking a whip into the temple, and he gets angry with the folks. He overturns even their chairs they're sitting on, because what they have done is a fulfillment of Jeremiah 7:11. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. So it wasn't that they weren't outwardly following Levitical laws and rules about sacrifices, but they had no fruit of faith. So they were doing it just as a merchandise kind of thing. And that's why Jesus says, Mark 11 is really important, because it's also about this. When Jesus says, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations? Now, some translators have, shall be called a house of prayer of all the nations. But that's not a proper translation. The proper word is for all the nations, including the Gentiles. And the part that was made separate for the Gentiles, they therefore made into a den of robbers. So that's kind of a summary of what Jesus had been doing in the temple.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday, June the 4th, Jesus clearing the temple in John chapter 2. When we come back, they demand a sign.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Trinity Lutheran Church in Vilonia, Indiana, is a mighty fortress that stands as a bulwark against the attacks of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. We are located in Jackson County, about 2 miles south of historic Fort Vilonia on State Road 135. Join us every Lord's Day for Sunday school and Bible class at 8:30 and divine service at 9:30. Come and receive the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation from God's Valiant One, Jesus Christ, who has conquered death and holds the field forever.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. on Jesus clearing the temple in John chapter 2. Pastor Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. You can help a college or a seminary student attend this week's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Chicago by donating a conference scholarship. Registration is $125. Just go to issuesetc.org/scholarship. issuesetc.org/scholarship. Pastor Baker, the people who witness this ask the question of Jesus, what sign do you show us for doing these things? First of all, what are they asking for? Why are they immediately asking for a sign after Jesus has done this?
Yes. What they're looking for, the word sign is some evidence that what he is saying is correct. And it kind of reminds me of three times that God gave a sign that didn't occur until the future. Moses was on Mount Sinai, and he was saying, you know, what's your name? Well, my name is I Am Who I Am, Yahweh. What's the sign you're going to give? You will be back on this mountain with the people. Now, that wasn't a sign to assure Moses that what he was to do was going to occur. It was a sign later on that was going to take place to help him to realize it was really God behind this. This also reminds me of another time Jesus was asked about a sign, and he talked about Jonah being in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, and he will be in the earth. Again, a kind of a future thing. Well, sure enough, he does this again. When they ask, what sign, Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, this is why it's really important to have a trained pastor in a congregation who knows not only the original Greek and Hebrew, but also the culture of that day. Or else laity are going to make the same mistakes a lot of times when you just read the English, because it sounds like Jesus is in the temple where everyone is worshiping. Destroy this temple. You would think he's talking about this temple. And therefore the Jew says, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's taken 46 years to build this temple. And you're going to raise it up in 3 days? But then John says something that I'm sure he didn't realize when Jesus said these words. This was after Pentecost that he wrote the gospel according to John. And he says in verse 21, but he was speaking about the temple of his body. And in fact, he underscores that with verse 22. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. So there's even an occasion when Jesus says, we have to kind of wait till after Pentecost comes because things I tell you are too hard for you to understand right now. And that was why the gift of the Holy Spirit is really, really important. So, Jesus is talking about his resurrection from the dead. Last week, we celebrated the Ascension. And I made the point in the sermon that the importance of the Ascension is that Jesus now becomes the triumphant prophet, priest, and king, and explain how each of those go on today. Jesus did not leave us and go to heaven. He's at the right hand of God, who is right with us at all times in worship, when we read the Bible, and so forth. In this context, we could say that Jesus is the real temple. He's also the priest, and he's also the sacrifice, a one-time sacrifice that never needs to be done again. And he is both the priest and the sacrifice. John the Baptizer, behold the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. Now, where is Jesus' temple now? we really need to bring in for the children their baptism. Because in their baptism, even as an infant, they receive not only the gift of the forgiveness of sins, they also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means that their bodies are now the temple of the Lord, that the Holy Spirit, Jesus, dwells within them. That's why Jesus, in his ascended state, says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Or, when you call upon me, I will answer immediately. He's not some far off zillion mile away place where we can't touch him or speak with him. He's right there beside us, because the right hand of God is wherever God the Father is in worship and mission. And that's really important for the children to understand. If they want to know how God the Father regards them, listen to how Jesus regards them. And the point that I would be making from a law gospel point of view, we Christians ought not imagine, well, I'm going to go to heaven because I go to church every Sunday. I go to Bible study. I give offerings. I read the Bible at home. No, none of that saves you. In fact, you're not doing that properly in faith until you are already totally saved. What Jesus was looking for was a fruit of faith, which was not on the vine, and it certainly was not among many who were worshiping in the temple, making the temple a den of robbers rather than a house of prayer.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
On the other side of the break, Dr. Daniel Popola joins us. We're going to talk with him about Scripture alone, one of the solas of the Reformation, of which we're going to discuss three of them, grace alone, faith alone, and Scripture alone. We'll be talking with Dr. Daniel Popola, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for June, titled Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran. Why do Lutherans emphasize the word so much? We'll answer that question after this.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $125 to Issues, Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $125 check payable to Issues, Etc. Write scholarship in the memo line and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces.
Sanctifying your daily errands with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran liberal arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/calla. That's C-A-L-L-A.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.